We begin with our Old Testament reading this morning from the prophet Isaiah. And let me just remind you that Isaiah was writing some 700 years before Jesus and John the Baptist walked the earth. And so listen to these words from the prophet Isaiah and see how amazing it is that 700 years later we would actually recognize the words for their truth and accuracy. Hear now Isaiah 40, verses 1 through 11. "Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling, in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all mankind together will see it, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God stands forever. You who bring good tidings to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good tidings to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up, do not be afraid. Say it to the towns of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and his arm rules for him. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young." This is the word of the Lord. And now as we prepare to hear the word proclaimed, let us pray. Lord, on this holy Sabbath day, we pray that you will inspire us with your Spirit as we hear your word. We pray, Lord, that during this Advent season, we will be always mindful of the true meaning of Advent in our lives. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our New Testament reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. It is the story of John the Baptist. The beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It is written in Isaiah, the prophet, "I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way, a voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him." And so John came, baptizing in the desert region and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message: "After me will come one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." That is the word of the Lord. Well, Advent indeed is a time of preparation for the coming of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And while we are now preparing to celebrate the arrival of the Christ child in Bethlehem, Advent does not end there. It is not a single season of the year. because we are ultimately preparing for Christ's coming yet again. So it becomes a lifetime of preparation for each of us. And I will repeat this message each Sunday of Advent, because if there is one thing that I hope you'll remember, it is that Advent is not just about Jesus' birth. It's about preparing for Christ's coming again. But as a part of that preparation, today we are drawn to yet another unlikely character in the story of Jesus' coming, and that is the person of John the Baptist. He brings the most basic of messages about our preparation for the arrival of the Messiah. His message is one that makes many of us uncomfortable at times. His message, quite bluntly, is the message of repentance. Our scripture this morning says he was preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And that is a message that doesn't fit with so much of what we have become accustomed to during the Christmas season. At home, people are cleaning, getting out their Christmas decorations, purchasing a tree, baking, hosting, attending parties, and simply getting ready for Christmas. But into our Advent Christmas activities each year enters John the Baptist. He interrupts our schedules and demands that preparations of a different kind be made. He proclaims that we must get ready for Jesus. But he is talking about preparing for Jesus on a much more long-term basis. He is talking about changing our lives. Before we can bask in Christmas joy and the birth of a special baby, John forces us to examine ourselves and the world. To do that kind of self-examination means that we need to take a step back from tradition, take a step away from the shopping malls and the internet, and take a step around all of the social activities that await us. We need to examine our lives, our values, and our priorities, and we need to be willing to change. That is how we should be preparing for the arrival of the Prince of Peace at Christmas. John the Baptist's proclamation is that we should repent and prepare. The Greek word for repentance is the word metanoia, and it means literally to change one's mind or to turn around. And John calls all people to turn to God and from sin, to seek God's forgiveness and to prepare the way of the Lord. Mark brings to us in today's scripture the poetic words of Isaiah and clearly ties Isaiah's prophecy to the preaching of John the Baptist. And as I said earlier, bear in mind that Isaiah was prophesying some 700 years before Jesus appeared on earth. And yet his prophecy was spot on. It says, "A voice of one calling in the desert." That's John the Baptist. "A voice of one calling in the desert will proclaim, 'Prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain.'" This poetry of Isaiah clearly predicts a preparation that goes beyond the simple and the mundane, but rather it is a preparation that takes on a spiritual realm, a preparation for the Son of God. And then Isaiah saves the best for last. He proclaims that such grand preparation is for the greatest of all reasons. He says, "And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all mankind together will see it, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." Prepare the way of the Lord. Now, if that is the central message from our passage, then there is meaning in God's choice of John the Baptist to proclaim that message. John, the wilderness dweller. In the Gospel of Mark, the word of God does not come to the emperor nor to the other rulers of the time. It doesn't even come to the high priests. It comes to simple John, the son of Zechariah and Elizabeth, Mary's cousin. John the Baptist is to us a great prophet who prepared the way for Jesus. But compared with the political and religious leaders of the day, he was just an ordinary guy. And yet God chose John as the messenger and not the luminaries of his time. God sent the message to John, not in Rome, not in Jerusalem, but out in the wilderness. Not the seat of political or religious power, but the wilderness, the often scary and confusing place where God had spoken to his people in the past and through which God had led his people to a new and promised land. God's choice of John in the wilderness where he spoke to John are indications of what God expects from us. If John's message makes us a bit uncomfortable, that is probably a good thing. Our repentance, our turning around, if you will likely involve us looking at our own priorities and those things in our lives that we hold in high esteem. Perhaps we will find that we need to view the world around us in a different way, that our traditional priorities aren't really that important in God's eyes. And perhaps we will come to a revelation that preparing for the Lord Jesus is actually about preparing ourselves to be in relationship with the Son of God. Now imagine if that concept caught on in our society. Imagine if rather than marketing 60-inch televisions at Christmas time, we were marketing a relationship with the Son of God. Imagine how that would change the world. At this time of year, I find myself reflecting more and more on the many blessings that I have and the many significant relationships over the years that have brought me to where I am today. As I said to the young people here a moment ago, we have to stop and think, is that enough? Do I have enough stuff? I'm now experiencing my third Christmas season here in Floyd, Virginia. Can you believe it? This is number 3 already. And it is causing me to think a lot about Christmas's past. Many of the traditions with family and friends that had come to be routine are now just memories for me. God has called me to a new place, and I find myself in a new relationship with God, and it's the God of love and trust that I have come to know, and there is no greater honor. I realize as I reflect that I have been in preparation for this time for all of my life. And I wasn't aware of it at the time, but it is becoming very clear to me now. You know, on the farm where I grew up, we had a wonderful tradition at Christmas time. We put a tree in the corner of the living room of our house, which had a window on each side. And it was in the corner of the living room where, when we were outside doing chores at the barn, we could look towards the house and we could always see the Christmas tree. And when we were coming up the lane towards the farmhouse, you could always see the lighted Christmas tree. And when I went out walking with my dog at night under that incredible starlit sky, even at a distance, you could see the Christmas tree in the corner of that house. And there were always presents under the tree. And as a child, I was excited about those presents. But now, as I look back with fond memories, the memories are not about the presents. They are about the house and the lighted tree in the corner windows that represent the warmth of a home that was filled with love. And the memories are about parents who worked hard and sacrificed to provide for five sons because they were doing it out of love. And they wanted us to have opportunities that they never had. The memories are about neighbors who were always welcome in our home, even when they dropped by just before supper time. There was always enough, and we truly enjoyed the neighbor's company. The memories are of preparing for church on Christmas Eve and driving into town for the candlelight service as a family, which always seemed so special. I don't remember most of the words spoken by Reverend Rundus, but I remember his kindness and warmth as a pastor. I do, however, remember him telling me that Christianity is not so much a religion as it is a way of life. I was a teenager when my pastor told me that. Christianity is not so much a religion as it is a way of life. And I remember it all these many years later. You see, Advent is about a way of life. It is about living our lives in a way that prepares us for the coming of the Lord. It is a time of transformation. And as we become deeper in our relationship with Christ, the world through us will see love and compassion and humility. And so let us love the Lord our God. Let us love one another. And friends, with our hearts and minds focused on Jesus, with anticipation of tomorrow, let us prepare the way for the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, we come to you now with humility and gratitude. We are humbled by your presence in our lives, and we are so grateful that you, our Creator God, continue to find time to care for us, both personally and as a church. Help us to never forget, and help us, Lord, to never take for granted the suffering endured by our Lord Jesus Christ, so that we can be a part of your kingdom, both on earth and in heaven. Today, we thank you for joyous occasions and times of happiness in our lives. Certainly, we are grateful, Lord, that we can celebrate this time of Advent as we anticipate celebrating the birth of the Christ child. Help us, Lord, to always, always show your love to others during this time of Advent. But we also must acknowledge, Lord, that there is strife and sadness in our world. Thank you for drawing us close to you as we endure sorrow, fear, pain, or illness. We praise you for touching our lives with the humility and compassion of Jesus. On this particular Sunday, Lord, we do want to lift up to you Heather and her family as they grieve the loss of her grandmother. We pray that they will feel your love and compassion and your presence in their lives. We lift up Jane Zitta as she continues her treatment. And Lord, we pray that she will find full healing. We pray that she too will find the joy and the compassion and the love that you provide to be so readily evident in those who come to visit her. And Lord, we do lift up to you Janie Blanchard, our dear and precious sister. We pray that you will be with her and her family as they have to make difficult decisions. And Lord, we just trust that they will feel your presence in a way that they have never experienced before, and that you will be there to guide them with every decision that they must make. And Lord, we pray that they will feel your love so fully. Lord, we lift all of this to you. We thank you for the event that will be taking place this afternoon as you, first of all, guide us in a time of doing the business of your church. And then as we open our doors to our own members, but also to the community, we pray that they will be guided through our doors and that they will be able to take advantage of many books that will be available to them. And Lord, we just pray that you will bless this event, however it turns out. We pray, Lord, that those who come through our doors will feel your love and will feel the warmth of this church as a center of your community. So we do lift this to you, asking that you will continue to bless us as a church. And we pray with joy and hope in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And now let us respond to God's word by returning our gifts to him.